Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Monday, January 4th, and we hope everyone had a very happy holidays and happy new year. And it's actually been a while since we last recorded. What was it? Eight, nine days, a little over a week.
Since we last recorded.
Xmas Eve.
Yeah, we recorded on Christmas Eve, and we asked you guys to give us a Christmas gift. And a few of you guys came through. We said, write us a nice 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It could be the best Christmas gift that you could possibly give us. And a few of you guys came through, and so to show how much we appreciate it, we're going to read two that we thought were pretty solid aloud on the podcast and shout out whoever wrote it.
All right, so the first review, we got a 5-star review from Trojan68953 saying, phenomenal podcast. These guys are so intelligent and are absolutely hilarious. I've won huge money on college basketball thanks to their game predictions. You know, you love to hear that. We try and help you guys out. If you guys are in the sports betting world, we try and get you guys some money.
Yeah, that's really an angle we've kind of taken this year more than last. Last year, we kind of would look at the games looking forward to.
But now we
would
the lines.
And we wouldn't look at the lines and we would say, like, oh, this team might be able to hang in there. This year, we really say who we would bet on, the lines, stuff like that. Try to win you guys some money. Because sports betting's taken off.
It is taking off big time. And then the next review we got is from JR150J. And this caption...
And Luke, I think you, in specific, should really listen to this review.
So the caption is Rutgers Final Four. So I think it was two episodes ago we said Charlie was ranting about Rutgers.
But clearly, Alex, whoever made this review is a fan of Charlie.
Yeah, honestly, whoever wrote this review, you're probably listening. I think that you are one of our most intelligent fans out there. Just wanted to say that.
Obviously, there's no bias in that statement. Clearly, there's no bias. But his review goes, love these guys. With periods in between. Very.
So he loves all of us.
Yes.
Yes. Correct. So, well, wait for it.
Easily my favorite college basketball podcast out there. Charlie's obsessive love of Rutgers is hilarious and even has me sipping the Rutgers Kool-Aid.
Ooh, sip that Kool-Aid.
Sometimes Luke doesn't make any sense, but he is always interesting at least. Give them a shot.
A few shots fired there. Luke, sometimes you say he doesn't make any sense. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, so I think I know what you're referencing in the Marquette turnover thing. that started as something a little bit serious, but it's turned into kind of a meme to kind of get it under Alex's skin a little bit. So it's going to be a meme theme throughout the entire year, to use that term. And I really appreciate that I'm entertaining to you. And even if I don't make sense, I hope that part is still entertaining. Because sometimes that's what we got to bring to this podcast. You know, at some point, we all don't make sense.
That's true.
That's a fair
point.
Way to take it like a pro. Absolutely love
and
it.
And once again, we appreciate all of the support. We really appreciate the reviews. Thank you guys
and
so much
if you didn't give us a Christmas gift yet, it's not too late. Anytime you want, write a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you listen. And you might be the lucky one where we'll read it out loud on the podcast.
Yeah, Martin Luther King Jr. Day is coming up. We expect gifts. That's just what happens.
You love to hear it.
Every holiday, man. Every holiday.
So, all right. We last recorded on New Year's...
Christmas Eve. And there were no Christmas Eve games.
But there were some good games on Christmas, if we want to hop right into those.
That is true. It was a Big Ten filled day on Christmas Day.
Yeah, like we said, Christmas Day, we were gluing our ass to the couch.
Yeah.
We were going to tune in some Big Ten games because, frankly, the earlier NBA games weren't all that great. Kind of some blowouts. Maybe a little later games were a little bit better, but still. College basketball is what we like to see. And the Big Ten did not disappoint.
Yeah, and I mean, these games were a long time ago, so always obviously take that with a grain of salt. But
yep.
There was a notable game or two in there.
Yeah, I mean... Top 15 matchup at the time, 9 Wisconsin, goes on the road to Sparty. It was a while since Wisconsin had won in East Lansing.
I think it was a while.
Since Bo Ryan era, at least.
At least 7 years or something.
It was like 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, it was like 2009 or 10, something
like
that.
Long time ago. Like before that game, I would have put money on it that the Badgers had won at East Lansing like last year. But now that I think back, that must have been at the Kohl Center.
Yeah,
but anyway, that was a big game for Dimitri Trice for the Badgers.
He balled out.
Some would say he took it personally because Izzo did not want to recruit him. Because
his brother, Travis Trice, went to Michigan State. And it was a personal game, I would say, because he came out with a different kind of fire.
And he needed to because, to be honest, Nate Reavers did not do all that much.
Neither did Micah Potter, really.
Neither did Micah Potter.
So the guard play for Wisconsin was way better than the guard play for Sparty.
Yep.
I mean, Rocket Watts struggled. Tito, Aaron Henry struggled as well. I mean, just the backcourt of Wisconsin played very well.
Yeah, like me and Alex said last podcast, we knew Joey Hauser was going to come out and ball.
And he did.
And he did, even kind of coming off a little bit of a nagging injury. But then Alex also had said Rocket Watts, he thought he was going to have a good day. He needed that to be top 10 team in Wisconsin, and Rocket Wallace did not do that, with finishing with only 5 points, 2 for 9 from the field.
But I believe I believe 3 out of the 4 of us on here, Alex being the only one that didn't, did pick Wisconsin to win this game outright. So, fair. Yes. I mean, there's a
good point.
But how about Joey Hauser? This guy has really come on.
Yeah, I think he needs more consistent help around him. He's been the only consistent player for the entire year for Michigan
State. And pieces are there at Michigan State. Exactly. And they got a good coach.
But I think they're not consistent, though. I think they need consistency other than him.
It's really tough in the Big Ten, too, to get consistency. You got to go up against different teams with different strengths and, like, very strong strengths every game.
It starts with Rocket Watts. Like, we know what he's capable of. He can be an elite scorer. But he's just – he didn't have it this game, and he hasn't really showed it that much this year in general.
Good point.
Yeah. Then we get Maryland going to Mackey Arena, taking on Purdue. Purdue wins 73-70. Purdue almost choked with free throws at the end of this, but big win for Purdue right after Maryland started to get ahead of steam and then picked up a nice win after that we'll get to. 19, Michigan stays undefeated, beating Nebraska 80-69. Hunter Dickinson with another great game.
Your Michigan team, they kind of had me starting to buy in a little bit.
They do.
Gotta say, Juwan Howard is a
phenomenal coach. And they have a lot of experience. Hunter Dickinson is the only freshman in the starting lineup. They have Hunter Dickinson and Wagner, who is, what, a sophomore? And then 3 seniors surrounding them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this Michigan team's experienced, and they're really putting it together.
He's a great recruiter and even better coach, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's true. He really stepped in well after Beilein.
Then we get to the game of the night. Number 4, Iowa, goes to the Barn at Minnesota. I was the one that said I was a little bit worried about this game. You guys were pretty confident in Iowa. I thought that we would win this because Garza would dominate Liam Robbins. Liam Robbins stepped up this game.
Drake transfer, correct?
Drake transfer. Liam Robbins stepped up this game. Warned you about him. And, of course, Marcus Carr can drop 30 to 40 on any given night, and he dropped 30 this night. But Toussaint missing free throws at the end is really what gave Minnesota the chance.
Yeah.
Don't really know why Iowa didn't foul Minnesota when they were coming down up or down
3. I mean, just a high-scoring affair, 102-95.
It was over.
Brandon Johnson for Minnesota, 8 of 9 from 3. And in overtime, he was forcing every single three-point attempt that he got, but they were all going in.
He had four threes. He was 4 for 4
in overtime. It was insane.
And it's like an NBA Jam when he's heating up. Like
The rim's on fire, and if you shoot the ball, it's going in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what happened. He could not miss. And he's normally like a mediocre shooter. So
I mean, it's total garbage as an Iowa fan that Brandon Johnson has pretty much only shot well in this game. If you look at his recent numbers, he hasn't done jack squat from behind the arc. But this game, he decides to show up.
Well, Iowa's an awful defensive team. We all know that.
True.
3-point percentage on the year is not very good, though. let me tell you,
a good amount of excuses.
I mean, same time, Iowa should have won. Toussaint cannot doink 2 free throws when you're up 3 points. That cannot happen.
It's been the theme all year. Free throws cost teams games, just like they cost Rutgers a game that we will get to later.
Indeed. Then we get into Saturday's games. We get another decent slate. 6, Houston going to UCF. That was a potential upset we talked about last episode. All of us picked Houston, and Houston keeps it rolling. The Cougs get it done against who's good team in UCF. American, underrated conference in my opinion.
Yeah, Houston's probably outright favorite to win, but still it's a competitive
What's conference. The deal with UCF? If I'm being completely transparent, I have not watched much, if any, of them this year.
They're like a
but they have some
team.
Nice wins.
Exactly. They're like a 500 team.
Are they 500, really?
Something like, or under. They might be 3-4.
Really?
I think right now they're 5-4.
But they have good wins.
I apologize. They're 3-3. Just lost to South Florida. Not great. Mm. UCF's an athletic team. They can get running with the ball.
And they're going to have games like this where they pull off upsets.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's weird, though. Yeah, they've had a lot of losses, but they got a lot of good wins, too. Just a little bit of a weird team.
Yeah, and then we got a big rivalry game. Jack Harlow is at this one. What's poppin'? Nice. Louisville takes care of Big Blue Nation at home, 62-59. Me and Charlie picked Kentucky. I think the other two picked Louisville. Great game, though. Mm-hmm. Kentucky just...
Big Blue Nation. What's happening over there?
Absolutely. What together.
I mean, BJ Boston simply sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Was he was the number one recruit. Was he number two?
Cade was one.
Cade was one, I think BJ Boston was the number two recruit.
He was top 5, I
think. Overrated.
Yes. He's so bad. I saw an article the other day, and it was like, NBA scouts are beginning to question whether BJ Boston's a top five because pick. I was like, we've been questioning this for two weeks. Then you haven't watched any college basketball this year. He has looked so out of
coming place out of high there. School. You look at his skill set and you're like, wow, he's athletic. He can take it to the hoop. Mm-hmm. He's a decent defender, but he cannot shoot.
No, he can't. He can't even get like a mid-range going.
He reminds me. Well, not reminds me. I think Markel Fultz is a better player, but they're kind of similar where Fultz just hasn't really developed a jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you know what I'm saying? Yes, like, he's athletic, but, like, he can't shoot.
I don't think B.J. Boston's going to be this bad this year. I don't think he's going to turn some, you know, transcendent player. But I think a little bit of confidence would go a long way for him.
Yes.
If he can somehow build up his confidence a little bit, maybe the tides will start to turn for Big Blue Nation. But right now, things are looking bad for Coach Cal in Kentucky.
They're in a deep trench, and they're going to need a lot of work and help to get out.
The only bright spot for Kentucky this year has been Davion Mintz. Yes. We've mentioned him a couple times on this podcast. He had 19 in this game, but obviously one player is not going to beat enough.
Jacob Toppin stepped up and played a little bit better, but he's going to have to keep that going if this Kentucky team wants to get down to it in SEC play.
Our bold predictions looking quite nice of Kentucky missing the tournament.
Yeah, after this game, they were 1-6. Which is,
I mean, Kentucky shot under 40% in like five straight games in this stretch. That can't happen.
Nope.
It absolutely can't.
But that can also be a credit to the other team's defense.
Or the stagnant offense for Kentucky.
Oh, it's for sure the stagnant offense, but it makes the defense way easier. It's way easier to defend when Kentucky cannot shoot the three ball at all.
Or, well, they don't. It's not even that they can't shoot, which they can't, but they can't move the ball. Nobody's doing anything off the ball. It's just
it's stagnant.
ISO here, ISO there, and then you come and double. They nobody take it moves out and they're up
there.
Break
yeah, you're absolutely right. It's ISO, and then people like just kind of standing up.
That's why I love to watch Davion Mintz. I mean, and then when SQ has the ball, it's clear that he's trying to create something, but everybody else doesn't seem to be interested. Mm-hmm. So, Coach Cal's got to get his crap figured out. Then we have big one of the Big Ten, 23 Ohio State going on the road to Northwestern. We knew Northwestern needed this win given their tough schedule coming up. And they got it done at home, 71-70. Really intense game, but they get it done back in Evanston. And then they get ranked for the first time in quite a while.
Northwestern's been a pretty big surprise in the Big Ten this year.
They're a pretty balanced team.
They are. And we knew that they weren't going to be as bad as last year when they were borderline meme team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they have really surprised me.
And then they have the best statistical three-point shooter in the nation in Miller Kopp. Shooting, yep. I think it's 54%. 54%.
And they need that too because they're always like a pretty physical inside team, but they never have like a consistent outside threat. I feel at least in recent years they have. But Boo Booey, an incredible name, but he's
even more incredible even player.
I would say the name is kind of undefeated.
I would say
it's still better, but he's really progressed into his sophomore year as well.
I really thought it was going to be the guards that are starting to carry Northwestern, but honestly, it's through front court. Pete Nance is an athlete.
Yeah, he's following after his father. Underrated. Holy cow.
Yeah, Pete Nance is an athlete. Miller Kopp can shoot the ball and get boards. I mean, this team, and then Ryan Young off the bench, who's played great defense against some great players, especially in that Ohio State game with Liddell and Young coming down the floor after having a huge game against Rutgers. Really, really credit to Northwestern for their game planning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Northwestern is really, they're for real. They're for real, I'm going to say it.
And another team that's for real, who I think, bold prediction, will go undefeated this year.
Wow.
Not through the tournament, but up until the
regular
tournament.
Season.
Regular season plus WCC tournament is the Gonzaga Bulldogs.
Okay, I don't know if them going undefeated up until the tournament is that bold of a prediction.
When was the last time a team went undefeated? It's extremely unlikely.
It's pretty bold.
I would say that's pretty bold.
I mean, I would be willing to hop on, but I'll give it to you.
WCC is that bold prediction.
But like, there's got a time where they're going to have an off night, and if somebody's on, like if San Francisco
beat Virginia.
Yeah. Or like whoever they're playing.
St. Mary's, BYU. BYU, I think, is the bigger threat there. They're in the Mountain West, aren't they?
I think BYU is West Coast. So BYU could have an on night, and let's say Zags are playing mediocre. All
right, there's your bowl prediction. Zags undefeated until NCAA tournament, but would you like to get into their game?
Yes, Gonzaga ran Virginia out of the gym. I'll let Alex kind of try to recant some statements he may have made or try to defend some dumb statements he may have made last podcast.
Yeah, do you remember what you said about Virginia last podcast?
I said Virginia never gets blown out, and I apologize for the listeners out there.
I mean, that was just an asinine statement to make in the first place. We called you out right away. How can you say Virginia never gets run out of the gym when the way that they play basketball I would say is like
allows them to
the most like
what if they get down.
Yeah, it allows them to get prone.
They're prone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tony Bennett's usually got a great defensive team. Obviously, the Zags' offense was too much to handle. But the main matchup you got to look at this game is Corey Kispert, the preseason first-team All-American versus second-team All-American Sam Hauser. And it went to Corey Kispert, and it was not even close.
No, it was not. Even.
Hauser did not shoot the ball well at all. 3-for-11.
And meanwhile, Corey Kispert, 9-of-13 from three.
I mean,
that is NBA Jam heating
up. I question the fact that Corey Kispert was made preseason first-team All-American. I redact my statement. He is the key to the Zags, I think.
And that was from the beginning.
100% you disagree, Luke?
No, I did say that last podcast. I said I think Suggs is going to have a good game. I think Corey Kispert's the key to this team, though.
I believe I said that like a month ago.
From last podcast.
It's not like it's that great of a statement, guys, saying Kispert's the key to the team. I mean,
he was a preseason first-team All-American.
But everybody started saying it was Jalen Suggs, not Kispert.
Players like Timmy or Ayayi.
Yeah, Timmy had 29 that game, too. I mean,
Timmy's a piece.
If Drew Timmy gets a mismatch, he's scoring 10 out of 10 times. He is so good in the paint.
I love Andrew Nemhard off the bench for Gonzaga, too. Alex mentioned that earlier in the season.
They're so explosive. They have 5 certified studs on their team. That shouldn't be allowed. There needs to be some kind of rules put into place. It's not okay.
But
I'm all for it.
Then two struggling teams were facing each other. Indiana on the road at 18 Illinois. Another good game in the Big Ten. Indiana could not come away with a win. But it was very close down the stretch. But at the end of the day, Iowa and Kofi just were overmatched. They overmatched Indiana.
I don't think Indiana shoots the ball well enough to have any real success this year.
I liked Indiana's pieces, but they're not producing. Rob Phinisee got benched.
Phinisee's garbage.
He was a good player last year.
I don't know what happened. It's like Nigel Hayes getting worse as the seasons go on.
Well, they have a really talented freshman, Trey Galloway, who I think is going to be good down the stretch. But he needs some minutes to kind of get accustomed to it. But how about Armaan Franklin?
Armaan Franklin's their best guard. So
yeah, I mean they have pieces. They got Jackson Davis, Race Thompson, Armaan Franklin,
Al Durham.
Al Durham is a good player.
They're just not really putting it together like I thought they would.
Not putting it together. Mm-hmm. Too much of we're gonna give the ball to TJD and let him try to figure it out himself.
Yeah, they fall in love with Trace Jackson Davis just a little too much at times.
Yes, agreed.
Great player.
Looking at this Illinois team in this matchup, we've talked about Andre Miller so much. He got our hopes up so high after the first.
Do you mean
Adam Miller. My apologies. When he dropped like 28, and he drops another goose egg.
It's time for Curbelo to start over.
It is. Andre Curbelo is a better player.
Especially considering Adam Miller is a freshman, which it's like if Ty goes to the upperclassman, really.
Well, Curbelo is a freshman as well.
Oh, is he actually?
Yeah.
Yes, he's a freshman.
But he just looks much more, he plays more experienced under control than Adam
Miller. And like, they don't need Curbelo to be a scorer. They need him to be more of like
a facilitator, but just run a better offense.
A secondary piece, I would say.
And run the offense that Brad Underwood has in place. Because Adam Miller, when I see him playing, I'm like, what's this guy doing?
Adam Miller's the kind of player who only thinks about himself and his own stats, in my opinion. That was apparent in the Rutgers game when he pulled up on like a 3v2 fast break
for a three.
Fair. That's actually a good point. That makes sense. That's a fair take on Adam Miller.
But that doesn't mean there's not a role for Adam Miller.
He can obviously progress. He's still a freshman.
Yeah, I think coming off the bench actually might serve him better. Mm-hmm. But then Sunday, Drake remains undefeated with a big win over Indiana State. We mentioned Drake last podcast. They're now 11-0, I believe.
Well, as this current moment, I believe they're 13.
After this game, they were 10-0.
We're running a little behind from the lag over the holidays, but Drake is my mid-major team this year. Them and Boise State. Drake is
sneaky good.
I'm gonna be honest. I think
Bradley's a better team than Drake in the Missouri Valley.
I want to see them play. They don't play until like the end of the year, though. So
that's gonna be great because they're gonna play in the end of the year twice, and then they're gonna play again probably in the finals. The NBC
Missouri Valley is gonna be fun to watch coming down the stretch.
Yes,
Loyola is a competitive team too. Yeah. So we'll see.
Then we move on to Monday. We had some more good Big Ten action. Maryland pulls an upset at number 6 Wisconsin. This kind of goes to show that the only team that really can't compete in the Big Ten is Nebraska. Penn State's not doing as well, but they're competing in games.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Nebraska's the only team that can't compete.
That's fair.
So you have to show up every night in the Big Ten because Wisconsin at the Kohl Center losing to Maryland, making the long flight over, and Dante Scott's athleticism is really taking
Maryland
far
played
right now.
A really good team game that
they really
like,
did.
They really did.
They shared the ball well. Everybody got involved. They weren't like, I mean, they're not an ISO ball team, but like some guys might force shots more than others just because there's not like the star talent on that team. But Maryland did play a great team, and Dante Scott's athleticism at the end of the game was just overpowered for Wisconsin.
It was a letdown for Wisconsin, especially after beating Michigan State on Christmas Eve. That's tough, but that's going to happen in the Big Ten.
Yep.
There's not going to be a team that comes out of the Big Ten unscathed.
Exactly. No. I think the winner or
the best team in the Big Ten, how many losses are they going to have before the NCAA tournament?
13. Or the best team?
The best team.
Probably eight.
Five to seven.
Yeah, that's a good number.
It's a bloodbath out there.
That's crazy really to think tough. About, though.
And I mean, honestly, I like Ayala as a player. Again, if he's not the primary guy, he had some help. I think he felt some pressure was off of him with Scott and Wiggins playing the way that they did. And then Ayala stepped up. When he's not the main focus of the other team.
What is Ayala? Is he like a junior or is he a senior?
I believe he's a junior.
Yeah, that's what I think.
But he has a good amount of experience under his belt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, when he played with these other guys in past years, Anthony Cowan, Bruno Fernando.
Stick Smith.
Yes. You had these pieces around him that allowed him to not be the focal point.
Yeah.
And then he kind of thrived under that. And if Maryland can figure out how to play a better team game, which they did in this game, Eric Ayala is going to be a pretty good player.
I mean, after this game, Maryland is a 6-3 team. So, like, that's not terrible.
Oh, they're a tourney team.
Yeah, 13 out of the 14 Big Ten teams were actually ranked in the top 50 of the BPI.
That's crazy. Nebraska and long.
Yeah,
long
Nebraska's long gone.
Nebraska ball is just.
Full effect.
In full effect.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough year for them. Can you imagine what goes through their head mentally every time they have to play?
It's like a D2 team.
They're like, we're going to get blown out every single game.
They're lacing up their shoes and locking them. They're like, all right.
We're losing by 15 today, not 30.
Let's give it a go.
Classic D2 versus any D1 team.
Imagine being
a
big man on Nebraska that's like, all right, who am I going up today against Luka today? Garza? Oh, Luka Garza? Dang. Oh. Maybe next game will be easier. Travion Williams? Dang. Next
Miles
game.
Johnson?
Liam Robbins. Next game. Miles Johnson.
Kofi
Coburn. That's so rough. Oh.
We should have an interview with like a big man out of Nebraska. Ask him how he...
How do you prep for these games? We don't really kind of just throw up a prayer. I mean, there's
that would be
much
a reasonable response.
Do.
Yeah, I mean, no,
that might
bad.
Be the best solution.
It's bad.
But then we have 17 Michigan State heading on the road, 21 Minnesota. Minnesota makes another statement, another good win, 81-56, convincing win.
I'm going to say something.
Liam Robbins.
About Marcus Carr that I don't say about many players. Marcus Carr is that dude. He is that dude. He has that dog in him. Marcus Carr, he has his way out there on the court. He's that dude. How many points did he drop that game?
9. I mean, yeah, in my opinion, Marcus Carr, he should be in consideration for National Player of the Year. Flies under the radar for no more player. But he comes out there every game, and I don't really know last time Marcus Carr had a bad game.
He has not had a dud game this whole season.
And he really carries... That team,
actually.
Liam Robbins has come on and gotten a lot of double-doubles.
Yeah, he's a nice piece,
he's
but
a great
at the end of the
piece.
Day, it's
Marcus
Carr.
Yeah. It's Marcus Carr's
He's not
Carr's
just a
team.
Nice piece. He's a star, but I
Liam
wouldn't
Robbins.
Put him
We were talking
as,
about Liam Robbins.
Oh, I thought you were saying Marcus.
As a compliment to Marcus Carr.
Okay. Yeah,
we're saying Marcus Carr's a star. If
Carr
he has a
the
bad
star.
Game.
Carr's
yeah.
the star. It's yep. his team, and...
If he has a bad game, they lose. He knows that every game.
And that's really impressive that he can... That he can carry that team
Minnesota
like that.
Minnesota would be so spooky if Gabe Kalscher.
Gabe Kalscher stinks.
If
There's
Gabe
no way around
actually
it.
Shoot the
he
three.
He stinks.
If
but
he
stinks.
Could actually shoot the
but
three.
But Gabe Kalscher, sneaky underrated defender. Sneaky good defender.
But he stinks offensively.
He's not very good on offense.
It's true.
He's terrible. There's no
this,
way around
but
it.
But this Minnesota team, they're outperforming preseason expectations.
Confirmed.
Once again, just another testament to how good the Big Ten is.
Exactly. Yes. But what was Minnesota projected to finish, though? I don't know.
Low.
Not very well.
Eight.
I would assume
around
9.
8 or 10.
Yeah.
They
improved to 9-1 after this game.
That's what I'm saying.
One loss is to Illinois. They also beat SLU, who just came in the rankings at 23.
Mm-hmm.
Good Minnesota team right here.
Yes, indeed.
Getting some quality wins for sure. And then Arizona beat Colorado at home, 88-74. I mentioned this because Arizona got some news, posted about it, I believe.
Yes, we did.
Wesley?
Arizona has self-imposed... A postseason ban, a one-year postseason ban.
This could be a tactical move.
Because, it is quite smart.
Oh, quite smart. Sean Miller has had allegations for,
Years.
Coming on 3 years now? I think we're coming on 3 years.
Alex is extremely salty about it every single year.
Basically, by Arizona doing this, they're trying to say, like, yeah, we know we messed up. And they're just hoping that the NCAA doesn't give them an even bigger postseason.
By doing this, they're hoping that they get the NCAA off their back. Yeah. Exactly. Everything is forgotten. In a year where they're not that good to be.
Sean Miller is a cheater.
Exactly. Like, this is the same scenario.
Illegal recruiter.
Exactly.
Like, we all know that.
Listen, we've all heard this story before, Alex.
This is the same scenario as resigning in a job position before, like, an investigation is done on you. So, more or less what they did.
I mean, to be honest, this is, like, NCAA has bigger fish to fry. So, if they can take care of the issue themselves, which they're trying to do, they give themselves 1 year, where the NCAA probably would have come down with more on them if they had to take care of it. It's basically what Ed Orgeron did, Coach O, in LSU for college football, did the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
Posted a bowl ban this year when they were like 5-5. The recruiting class were going to be so much better in the years coming. Same with Arizona. There's no fans, no hype anyway this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really smart move.
I would say it's a good move.
Tactical play.
Yes.
Extremely tactical play. And then, Alex, you got a player in Arizona.
James Akinjo. That's the transfer from Georgetown, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he got in some trouble at Georgetown, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
A little bit.
What did he do again?
He got dismissed from the team. I can't remember.
But if I remember right, he committed like 4 crimes at one time.
Him and another player, too. Like, it was really decent. They were good players.
All I remember is like...
They were good players.
I remember we were discussing this and we're like, so you committed robbery and you committed assault and this, that. It's like you couldn't have just done
and
one.
And where does he go? Of course he goes to Arizona.
Yeah.
Of course. Sean Miller's welcoming all. He's with open arms. And lots of money for you.
Lots of
money.
Man
of second chances.
Oh.
Cheaters.
Then we get 24 Virginia Tech at home, barely escaping Miami. I mean, Virginia Tech, I think, is not very good, to be honest.
I don't think they're that good either, but, I mean, considering what they were thought to be before the year started, they're a pleasant surprise.
I mean, they're performing really well without their best player dang near Landers Nolly transferring to Memphis. So. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
You shouldn't have transferred.
You shouldn't have. You
should have trusted Mike Young.
Why would he want to go to Memphis? Is 6-4.
Never doubt Mike Young.
I don't know. Why did he go to Penny?
Anyway,
Penny must have provided money. All right, enough of that.
Anyway, more Big Ten action. Purdue goes to the rack, loses to 14 Rutgers by 5 points. Purdue played pretty well this game. It was a great game to watch.
It was a good game, and Rutgers was playing without their best player, Ron Harper Jr., and this is a testament, in my opinion, to Rutgers'
resilience
and the way that they can play together as a team.
It did prove that when a challenge was thrown their way, they could handle it.
By the way, Geo Baker
finally played well.
He's been playing a lot better as of late.
As of late.
He kind of had a slow start to the season.
This was his wake-up game.
Yeah.
He was in the starting lineup, too. I think
that's what sparked him, putting him in the starting lineup, which I don't know why they didn't do it sooner. Like, Mulcahy.
I don't know if he's going to start going forward either.
Who do you think is going to start over him? Paul Mulcahy?
I don't think
they started him over Mulcahy in their next game, though.
Against
Iowa.
I don't think they should.
And he was 6-10 shooting. Mulcahy's a nice piece, good free throw shooter, but he's a sophomore. And Geo Baker at the end of the day is a lot more experienced and he's a lot more talented.
Yeah, Rutgers shot 50% this game. I mean,
without Ron Harper Jr., that's pretty good.
Yeah, and 52% from three.
The
3-point shot is kind of what lost for Purdue at the end.
Yeah,
shot
Montez
only 27.
Mathis was splashing.
Oh, yeah.
He was.
Very underrated piece on Rutgers.
I agree.
Yeah.
I've been saying that for quite some time, but yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, how about Travion Williams? Another double double for this big man.
He's
down
so
low.
Good.
And he's such
yeah.
a good
he's
passer,
so good.
Too.
He needs a guard around him that can help him
can
out just a little
shoot.
Bit.
Yes.
Just a little bit of help from somebody around.
Eric Hunter's not getting it done this year, and that's a problem because he was supposed to be a piece for them.
He got
that was supposed to be
in for what
was
his name?
Isaiah Thompson.
Yeah.
Oh, he was splashing
threes.
That game.
Somehow that man was making threes.
I mean, Purdue has some good pieces. Again, they got to get it together. Some of these teams with more experience in the Big Ten, or who's going to finish on top, it's looking like. Then we got a big upset. Clemson takes down 18 Florida State at home, 77-67. Clemson's
so
at the top of the ACC right now, just so we're clear.
Wow. Yeah, I think we're all kind of cooling on Florida State a little bit. A
little bit. They have 2 losses now.
Still think Florida State will win the conference tournament. I believe that's what I said.
Oh, I mean, I can totally see it happening.
Yeah,
definitely. It's so far out.
Especially, yeah, we'll see. The ACC's kind of got a little bit of a down year, so.
Yeah.
Bunch of mediocre teams in the ACC.
I would agree. No top dogs.
Speaking of, Duke hasn't played in like a year.
Yeah.
Like, I have not.
Coach
K
has fully embraced the screw this season mentality.
Coach K is just going to the bank one too many times with using COVID as his excuse for just not having that great.
It's been days since they've played.
weeks? Maybe weeks. I don't weeks? Know. Days weeks? Doesn't seem that
months?
Long.
Are we approaching months?
But then SEC action. SEC underrated conference, in my opinion. Texas A&M, who's been getting some nice wins in the SEC, lose to LSU 77-54. Me and Wesley love the SEC.
I love LSU. Love LSU.
What do you love so much about them?
Their freshman, Cameron Thomas, who is people know about.
Stud.
Second best freshman in college basketball, in my opinion.
Behind Mr. Suggs. Mr. Suggs. Cameron Thomas.
I don't know. Keegan Murray's a stud.
Log off. Turn off your devices. Log off. You're done. But Cameron Thomas is averaging like 20, probably 25, 26 points a game. Like, he's like a stud.
You turn on ESPN and you're going to see Cade Cunningham, but the real freshman that you need to watch is Cameron exactly Thomas. Who Wesley said.
And Jalen Suggs, just to make
yeah,
it clear.
Yeah, fair.
Not but, that Cunningham's a bad player, but the impact that Cameron Thomas has had in his first year at LSU, I think he can turn them into an NCAA tournament team.
I think they're totally a tournament team this year. 100%. 100%. I think they could make some noise and win a game or two. We'll see.
Speaking of NCAA tournament teams, number 5, Houston gets beat on the road at Tulsa. Commit a stupid foul at the end. It's obvious. I mean, the guy was driving to the basket.
So Houston lost 2 games in a row to UCF and
No, they beat UCF.
Oh, they beat UCF. Okay, my apologies.
I mean, Quentin Grimes really stepped up towards the end, but he didn't get it done earlier in the game. As you can see with his 5-for-17 shooting. But he has to play better.
Wesley, you think Houston's going to bounce back pretty well, though?
Yes.
Marcus Sasser has been playing really well.
Marcus Sasser is the best player in that team.
They got to give him the ball more. He acts like he's not a primary player, and he should
be. Quentin Grimes, I think, I don't know if it's his big pedigree transfer in from Kansas or what, he feels like he's entitled to shoot a lot of shots. He's kind of a shoot-to-get-out, shoot-to-stay-out guy, and a lot of times he's not too hot, and he's always fiery.
Yeah, so you're hard on Grimes.
It was also carried over from last year.
I know what you're saying.
Last year he did the same thing. He would shoot so much, and like you were like, when is he going to come into rhythm? When is he going to get into rhythm? And he just never did. And I think if he can, or get somewhat in rhythm...
He's a great player,
and I think they got a chance to make a lot of noise.
I mean, Tulsa was kind of spooky last year, but this is a very bad loss for Houston.
Yes, especially as they were sitting at 5 in the nation this game. So
I mean, and the difference was Houston only had 11 points off their bench, and it all came from one player. So, and Tulsa had 4 guys off the bench score 7, 4, 9, and 7, which is efficiency off the bench. So Houston,
I mean, that's not going to blow your pants off or anything.
Well, it helps when, because you know the bench players, a lot of the times will come in around the same time. So the swings in the game. Because
I'm not quite sure I know what you're saying, but okay.
Houston really only has 6 guys that they can consistently go to score the ball, though, I would say. So.
And Houston had a starter foul out that game, too. So that also made him go to the bench, too. Fair. Not a very deep bench. Then we had 19 Northwestern going on the road, 10 Iowa. Iowa gets their mojo back, and I believe Bohannon gets his mojo back this game, too. 24 points.
Yeah, Bohannon's 6 threes. Definitely started to look a lot nicer lately, kind of like getting his confidence back, getting his group back.
Sadly, Luka Garza's 20-plus point streak in Big Ten games ended at 18, as he only finished with 18 points this game. So only 18 Big Ten games in a row he scored 20-plus points. You know,
unfortunate. The streak restarts, I guess.
What a bum.
Not my AP player of the year.
How about Keegan Murray off the bench? I said last podcast he needs to get at least 20 minutes a game. Got 21 minutes. Went 4-for-5 from the field with 9 points, 2 rebounds. Keegan Murray is way better than Jack Nungy.
This is a fact. By a lot. Debate and sink if you disagree. This is a classic debate and sink argument. Jack Nungy is incredibly difficult to watch.
Iowa has to play Keegan Murray a lot more down the stretch because this guy is great off the bench. Then we get into Wednesday's games. We got SMU taking on Temple on the road. SMU gets it done, stay undefeated. Another team that's undefeated, Winthrop is undefeated. Love Winthrop. They get
little Big South action.
23 Virginia at Notre Dame. That was a close one. Virginia pulled away at the end. But Virginia just is not passing the eye test for me this year. I don't know what to tell you.
Virginia hasn't passed the eye test for me.
In a couple years.
In 2 years. I mean, 3 years ago they won it all.
Yeah, I know. But since
then. Yeah, since then.
Can you guys just, like, for my sanity, admit that Kihei Clark is better than Reese Beekman?
What were their lines this game?
Beekman dropped a goose egg and Kihei dropped 19.
How many minutes? 13 minutes versus 38.
Not going to say that Beekman's better than Kihei Clark, but Kihei Clark is the kind of guy who he can get absolutely just dominated certain games.
Well, here's the issue. Prentice Hobbs had 4 points for Notre Dame, and Notre Dame was still in a dogfight with Virginia. And Prentice Hobbs is like Notre Dame's only player.
Yeah.
So Virginia really not impressive.
I'm close to slapping the fraud card on Virginia.
Getting there.
I'm pretty much there.
Yeah.
This is a yearly wish of mine to see them get the slur.
It's just because they're not that fun to watch. I don't want them to be good.
They're never really fun to watch.
No. Ever.
I would argue when they won it all, they were fun to watch. With Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter.
They were fun to watch.
That's fun to watch.
Ty Jerome was a bucket.
He was fun to watch.
25 Ohio State bounces back trying to stay in the AP poll. 90-54 just completely ran Nebraska out of the gym. Again,
Nebraska ball.
Sky blue.
Insanely tough scene for Nebraska. Seton Hall beats Xavier by 17 points. Seton Hall went on the road for that one too. Xavier, are they looking like frauds to you guys, or did they just...
Big East is so hard for me to dissect.
Seton Hall lays eggs, or they come out and can beat any team on any given night.
How'd Mamu play?
18 points for him.
18, I mean, you know what you're gonna get from Mamu.
Yeah. He's
a known commodity.
He's very good.
I mean, Xavier started off 8-0, got ranked for the first time, lost 2 in a row. Yep. I mean, they played two.
That just seemed teams. That's like classic Xavier teams, to be honest.
That is actually.
I think both these teams are seriously mediocre and will probably be fighting for a spot in the tournament.
Yeah,
indeed. Another good SEC action game. Arkansas remains undefeated, goes on the road to Auburn, wins 97-85. I love Arkansas.
They play fast.
Go Hogs.
They run up and down that court. Go Hogs.
Because I really don't think Auburn's a bad team, because Auburn can shoot the ball. But this is basically a high-scoring affair, and Arkansas ended up coming out with it. But, man, I love the Hogs this year.
I like the Hogs other than Vanover.
No, I like Vanover.
Vanover just had one rough game.
We'll get to the game.
We'll get to that game.
Connor Vanover's later. A nice piece to have, trust me. He can shoot the three ball, and he's how tall is he?
He needs 7'3". They need rebounds.
Yeah, he is incredibly uncoordinated.
He doesn't have good control of his body. I'll give you that.
Wow.
It's one of those things where like a guy who's 6'3" can get a rebound over him, and he's 7'3".
Exactly. That's true. I really could see that any day of the week.
Then we got Big Ten action. Indiana needed to win. Penn State needed to win. Indiana won in overtime at home in a thriller. Then we have game of the night, 7 Tennessee going on the road to 12 Missouri. Tennessee waxes Missouri. Most of us said Tennessee was going to win this.
I mean, this was just an awful shooting night for Missouri.
Missouri doesn't shoot the ball particularly well in the face of
good defenses. But Tennessee is a great defensive team.
Yeah, yes. In the face of good defenses, they don't shoot the ball well. Yeah. Good teams will play good defenses decently.
And Tennessee has changed their identity from last season. Last season, they were kind of a give it to Santiago Vescovi and let him huck it from deep. They're kind of pounded inside this year, and I'm loving it. That is
McDonald's. I'm loving it.
McDonald's. I am loving it. I would agree.
They've kind of transformed into like the Tennessee teams with Grant Williams, yes. Admiral Schofield.
Yes.
But I think what they're missing from that team is, I mean, these Pons, like he's not Jordan Bone, because Jordan Bone on that Tennessee team was he could facilitate and get his own.
Yes.
And I don't know if Tennessee really has that guy this year.
Hmm. We'll see. We will see.
We get into, this is Wednesday, I believe, not Thursday. Thursday, New Year's Eve. Got a good one. 21 Minnesota, hot Minnesota, goes on the road to 6 Wisconsin. Credit Wisconsin's defense, winning 71-59.
Good win.
The leading scorer for Minnesota was Gabe Kalischer with 15.
Oh, man. They held just trashing him a minute ago.
They held Robin. Well,
he was still 4-12 from the field, so like not some whoopee-doo kind of night.
Wisconsin's defense held Carr to 10 and Robbins to 12.
That is hard to do. Hold Marcus Carr, that dude, to 10 points.
That's credit to their defense, I'd say, because Carr had been...
And Robbins usually like up by the 15 mark, too, and he fell short of that. And when both Carr and Robbins fall short of that, I don't think Minnesota's going to win very many games.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. Wisconsin shot 51% from the field.
I love seeing Johnny Davis getting 30 minutes.
Oh, Johnny Davis deserves 30 minutes.
Absolutely.
He plays tough.
Trice had another decent game, too. Trice is starting to play a lot better.
Trice is the key to the team. He's the key to the Badgers. Who else is?
Also,
absolutely not. It's Trice.
We tweeted about Trice being the key to the team.
That's why he's the key to the team.
Yeah, why? That doesn't make any sense, Alex.
That's right.
Unless you're saying you know exactly what you're getting out of Trice night in and night out, which I disagree with.
I don't know. He's kind of proven to me that he can score 18 plus on any given night. I think
Marcus that Potter, proves that he's the key to the team.
No,
so I that's so you're saying Marcus Carr is not the key to the team for the Minnesota team?
Yes.
Exactly. So that's I'm using Alex's.
Well, argument. you could make an argument. Robinson's just because Carr is so consistently good. Every
I don't know.
Night.
I think
that's what I'm saying. You could make that argument because you know what you're getting out of Carr night in night out. I don't think you have that with Trice.
Trice has not established Wisconsin a Carr like presence needs yet.
One of their big men to play well if they want to
go deep.
Make yes.
go
they need
deep
to be
run.
A top 10 team.
But I mean, their maybe. Defense is also something that'll bail them out here.
It's an opinion based thing. I think Trice is the most important, but.
We did tweet about that. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Charlie.
Absolutely. Mid March. I think it's made_in_March_. I don't know if there's a podcast on Twitter. Just look up Made in March podcast and you'll see us.
Yes.
Brick by brick, steady growing.
We'd love for you to follow us on Twitter because that's where we give out our most content when we're not on this podcast or on Instagram. So a lot of the times when we're going.
We got a hot take or something.
Them.
Boom.
Twitter. Boom. You can see it on Twitter.
Takes are on Twitter.
You want to watch you want to know what games to tune into when you're sitting on your couch at night? Tune into our Twitter. I guarantee you tweeted something about it.
Yeah, we're getting more and more active as each day goes by.
We're getting there. And then how about 16 Michigan going on the road to Maryland, who had been playing well. Takes care of them 84-73. Hunter Dickinson with 26-11 this game.
Michigan's officially
Hunter Dickinson
heating up.
He's a stud.
And I think some people are reluctant to wrap their arms around him because he is an ugly motherfucker. He does not look he is not.
Who are these some people? Is this you?
Yes, this is me. I'm just saying personal experience. I was like hesitant on Hunter Dickinson. I was like, he kind of looks like a little bit of a brute. But the basketball he's been playing as a freshman
is incredible.
In the Big Ten?
10 of 11 from the field.
Give me a break. Yeah, he's been playing nice.
Not only that, but Eli Brooks, Mike Smith, and Franz Wagner were in double figures. Livers only had 7.
And Franz,
there are pieces
Franz
on this
has
team.
Surprised me because he, like, this year he's really kind of developed a full game.
Yes.
I would say he can take it inside. He's a good 3-point
he
shooter.
He used to never take
looks,
it inside.
And he looks more controlled.
I mean, when Livers becomes a secondary player in a game on Michigan, you know that they have the pieces around them and they're doing something right. Because that was not as much last year. Livers did a lot.
Do you think this
more.
Michigan team, even without Xavier Simpson, is better than last year's?
Yeah, I think
it is.
I think Mike Smith is a sneaky, underrated point guard. Transfer from Columbia, started every game but two in his career, and one of them he was injured.
Okay, that's good, but at the same time, that's also Columbia. Like
Columbia.
The only thing that concerns.
Well, he's been very efficient. He's 49.
I said he could.
49% from the field.
What did you say, Alex?
I said the only thing that concerns me with Michigan is their depth. I think we've touched on it a few times, but
BJJ.
They really only play 7-8 guys on a given night.
I mean, 8. You can play 8 guys and be fine most nights.
Shaun D. Brown, great off the bench. Not this game so much, but
BJJ,
a lot. But he can show up.
That's about all they play consistently, I'd say. But
it's very true. And how about Boise State? Absolutely waxing San Jose State.
This is
me
my
and Char,
other mid-major
we're
team.
Very high on Boise State here at Made in March. I
Blue
think all of us are.
Broncos.
106-54.
That's a D1. That's like a
but with
game between two D1 teams. Even
but
though San Jose State's not that good, 106-54. Are you kidding me? That's almost doubling the other
Lock
team's
off.
Score.
That's just the good old-fashioned butt whipping. That's what it boils down to. That's about it.
Boise State's going to be in the
Boise
tournament.
State,
I don't know if that's a bold prediction or not.
I'm going to go as a bold prediction and say they not only they make tournament, I think Boise State wins a game in the tournament. Does that qualify as a bold prediction?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I don't like to make that prediction just because I don't know who they're playing.
Listen, yet. It's bold for a reason, man.
Yeah, that's true.
If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Nuts deep and on the Broncos right now. We are balls in. Balls all the way in. We'll see how it goes, though. But
I mean,
they're a good team, and there's no denying it.
They became 7-1 after that game, and I believe their loss is a good loss too to Houston by 10 points on the road. Kept it close most of the
game.
Can,
that'll work.
It was a competitive-ish game.
That'll work.
Competitive game, and then we got Colorado going on the road to USC. Colorado might be the second best team in the Pac-12.
So. I would like to say Bill Walton called this one of the greatest wins in the history of Colorado Buffalo basketball. Take that as you will.
I love McKinley Wright. I love McKinley Wright. He's not getting as much hype this year. Because
the
Pac-12 sucks again.
They
just
are
they
yeah,
suck even
they...
worse. I think they're conference number 7 or 8. If we're listening off, we're listening off the conference.
Missouri
rankings.
Valley might have them this year.
low key American Missouri Valley, you name it. Just
yeah.
It's sad to watch. But then we got moving into New Year's Day. Again, not too many great games. But at the same time, Liberty was in action. We haven't really talked much about the A-Sun, but I know Alex is high on Liberty. They lost to Lipscomb, and Liberty's not that good this year. But
I mean, they played them the next day.
Or and they whooped them the next later, day, and they yeah. whooped them.
I don't think the A-Sun's a good conference in general.
I mean, you already know that these two teams are most likely going to be in their conference final fighting for a spot in the tourney.
That's a good point.
What about
point.
North Florida, though, Luke?
The Your Ospreys?
Boy. Yeah.
The Ospreys can shoot the ball, baby. The Ospreys.
That maybe needed to be left late in last year's scene.
Yeah, then we got to get into it. Saturday. Big slate, by the way. 8 Texas and number 3 Kansas. Texas looked good. Their defense.
My goodness.
Final score of that game, real quick.
84-59.
A 25-point victory in 2 top 10 teams.
At Allen Fieldhouse.
Kansas could not shoot the ball, especially from deep. 3-for-23 from downtown. That's 13%. Every time. And they got some good looks, too. It looked like they could keep coming back into the game, but then they were just missing open looks consistently.
Not all the looks were open, though, because this was a really good defensive showing by Texas.
Shaka.
What did I say athletic. At the beginning of this year? I said, this is like Shaka's old-school defense
from
VCU.
From 10 years ago.
Once you get across half court, you got no room to breathe.
This is the first time Shaka showed this kind of defensive like
prowess.
I was looking for that word.
At Texas. We haven't seen it, and that is...
Kansas did not lead in this entire game.
Yeah.
And it's also fair to mention that I think it was they said that Texas had a total of 9 scholarship players at this game. They lost, I think one just punted or something like that, like Oscar Shewe. They had 2 injured that they left back in Texas. And they still ran them out of the gym. They were shorthanded and they still got it done.
Alex, they shot the ball 19 points.
Credit
better.
To Shaka. He had a nice game plan. They played a lot of small ball. They made Kansas do something that they were not used to doing, which is sitting David McCormack for a large part of that game. And yeah, Kansas didn't hit shots. Texas played great defense. I still like Kansas. I don't think they're going to shoot this bad, but I also like Texas.
I frankly, watching this game, I think Kansas got outplayed and out-hustled, which that's...
In all aspects.
It's stuff you can control that Kansas also didn't do right.
But Christian Braun is... He's not going to go 0-for-5 again. Agbaji's not going to go 1-for-6 again. They're just too good of shooters.
Exactly.
This was the worst loss at Allen Fieldhouse in Bill Self's career, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's...
I mean, I'm not jumping off the KU...
Oh, not yet.
Hype train whatsoever.
Especially because they've shown well... I mean, everybody has a dud game here and there, so...
Yeah. I'm a little skeptical of Kansas. Not frauds or anything that, but...
That's fair after a game like that.
And I think the Big 12 is a sneaky good conference, too. Like, they're out there.
Absolutely.
They're sneaky deep, deeper than people think.
Second best conference, no question.
I agree. How about 11 Creighton going on the road to Providence? Bishop with the dunk to win. Definitely
ending.
A travel, by the way. He took 3 steps.
It was close.
That was crap.
Nearly a travel, but Creighton with the last second dunk.
It's important to know. I think Marcus Zagorowski hit how many threes was it?
He played very well.
He was 6-of-11 from
finally,
3. Finally,
about time.
But
it was sort of about time for him.
He needed to, otherwise people were going to start getting on his.
They were going to start asking for answers.
Yeah, they were going to need some answers.
David Duke started, David Duke had one of his like not as good games this season too. 5-19, 13 points. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he just fired.
And Providence was still in this game, so. Alex, you're a Big East guy. Is Providence a team that can sneak into the tournament this year? Do you think they're just a little bit short? Because I know David Duke's a great player.
I like David Duke and Nate Watson. Yes. Those are the two
Alex,
key pieces
I just need
for
to
Providence.
Just say that you just said the sentence, I like David Duke. So, you know, let's just get that on
the basketball player.
I like
the
David
basketball
Duke
player.
As a basketball player.
The basketball player.
He's very athletic. He can score. But they need a third piece. I mean, AJ Reeves has shown signs of that. But I don't know. Providence is just a very mediocre team, if you ask me.
Alex O'Connell with only 3 minutes this game.
Yeah, I really want to see Alex O'Connell on the floor.
There is no
They're not letting him jump in the pool. They're letting him go in step by step.
So there's nobody in the entire world who owns more Alex O'Connell stock in Creighton than Alex. Is this true?
I mean, you're not wrong. I loved him when he was on Duke. Yeah. He's an absolute sniper.
Mm-hmm. Mahoney really struggled this game. 2-for-12 for Denzel Mahoney. Got to shoot the ball a little bit better. I think he's a bigger key to Creighton than Marcus Zagorowski even. Then we got 12 Missouri going on the road to Arkansas.
Disagree, but
12 Missouri going on the road to Arkansas. Arkansas was undefeated coming into it. Mizzou gets it is starts to bounce back after that Tennessee win. Good win over Arkansas.
Yeah, I was gonna say this was a much needed bounce back for them after Tennessee kind of manhandled them sort of. But as far as Arkansas is concerned, don't hop off. Connor Vanover
had this the worst game of his life.
The tall guy we mentioned, worst game of his life. He had an awful game.
But Arkansas, for 11.
Like, he's just had to go to bed that night just feeling like garbage.
Yep.
But Arkansas, they will still run you up and down, up and down, up and down the court. I still like this Arkansas team.
And Desi Sills, he was 1 for 10, too. Like, they
just, and he's their
other really good player. They shot 27% from the field and only lost by 13. Just something.
And even at the end of the game, it looked like they kept creeping back. It was Arkansas team, still impressive in my opinion. Do not hop off. And then two Baylor goes on the road to Hilton and Ames, Iowa State, and they almost get upset there.
It was a tight game.
By the way, it was tight towards the end. I referenced a transfer last episode, I believe, that left Penn State. He went to Iowa State, just to clear that up. Rasir Bolton.
Iowa State's kind of they're the kings of getting transfers. That's just what
Deontay Burton was a big one that they used to have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alex was upset.
They also had Mariel Shayok, I believe. He was a transfer from Virginia back in the day.
Indeed. Now he had a huge game. Number 10, Iowa wins on the road at the rack, 77-75. Have not lost at the rack. Iowa owns that dump.
Yeah, Iowa beating Rutgers.
Rack attack.
This was
Iowa versus Rutgers. That dump.
This was just a great game between two really good teams. And, I mean, Ron Harper Jr., you're going to hate me for saying this, but he wasn't his usual self out there. First game back from injury. He didn't play all that well, but
Everybody else, the pieces around him played well.
Yeah, they did. And I think it was a good team game for Rutgers despite the loss. I mean, I feel like they limited Luka Garza for a good portion of that 25 game.
25 points.
Let me finish. I said
first
for,
half.
Let me finish. For a good portion of the game, they did limit him. But then towards the end, Luka Garza took over like he tends to do most games. Yeah.
His footwork has actually gotten a lot better.
Oh, he had one move where it was just disgustingly good.
Yeah.
The up and under one where he spun it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I do have to say, though, about Rutgers, that they have one of the better and more complete starting lineups in college.
Yes, that's
everybody was in double figures.
Exactly. And Ron Harper Jr., I think he was hobbled a little bit. I can't wait till Rutgers gets back Cliff Omorui. Just wait till they're up full strength.
By the way, you talk about Rutgers playing a good team game. Iowa did not have McCaffrey like this entire game. He's a great distributor. Wieskamp and Frederick did not shoot the ball well.
Yeah, Wieskamp was a non-factor out there.
But how about the bench for Iowa and some of the youngsters? Aaron Ulis getting some time, looking great.
I like Aaron Ulis.
And Keegan Murray with 23 minutes, 14 points, and 9 boards. Are you kidding
me? Keegan Murray was playing well.
He was. He was hustling.
Yeah, but Alex is a fan of Aaron Ulis. I'm excited for him. He's the future.
I mean, you look at his numbers. He had 2 points, 3 boards, 4 assists. But he looked really good on the defensive end of the ball, which is something Iowa does not have. Is a good defender, really. And, I mean, he didn't try and do too much out there, which you like to see from a young guy. He got the ball where it needed to go to Luka Garza. He played really well. He's going to be a great player in the future for Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, with Toussaint and Connor McCaffrey down that game, we need somebody to step up off the bench, and he did it.
That was just a fun game to watch.
It was a great game.
It was close the entire time. One team would get ahead, then the other team would pull through.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I need to add, great game for Geo Baker, 6-10 from the field. He looks spry out there.
Oh, Jordan Bohannon had a good game too. By the way,
he's starting. Did you say Geo was like gonna come down and hit like the game winner though?
Okay, but here's the problem.
It was Jordan Bohannon. What a block! What a strip! What a strip!
I thought Miles Johnson got fouled under the hoop with about 5 seconds left. As did a lot of reasonable people.
Ticky time.
But at the end of the day, I'm not gonna complain. Iowa played the better game. Honestly, Garza dominated at the end.
If you think about it, odds he missed both free throws would have been quite high though.
He only needed one to tie it. Yes, because then Iowa got the ball back. They fouled him. Iowa made both free throws, and then Rutgers went down and missed like a last half court shot.
Then Clemson escapes on the road against Miami, 66-65. Amir Sims is a really good player for Clemson, by the way. Just look out for him when he's playing, because that guy is really good. Another great game that day, LSU at Florida. I love the Gators this year. Chomp, chomp, Gator Swamp all the way. Love them in the SEC. They get it done at home, 83-79, despite Cameron Thomas dropping 28. Michigan transfer Colin Castleton was big in this one with 21 points.
What do you love so much about the Gators this year, Luke?
They're more of a complete team. Last year it was a lot of stagnant. Even with they're undefeated without Keontae, and they've been playing good basketball. Trey Mann's playing great basketball as a guard. They're facilitating better. They're playing.
No Kerry Blackshear this year though, Luke.
No Kerry Blackshear. Thank God. I mean,
you suck. But
the team of Florida last year, this looks like a whole different team.
But the also way, the way that they play LSU. Together. Don't go off LSU yet. They're not hop off LSU.
They're a good team as well. They got Scotty Lewis, Trey Mann, Colin Castleton for Florida. Mm-hmm. They've been playing well together, the starting lineup. Really getting it done. So pay attention to the SEC this year, because that is indeed a good conference. And then we have nine West Virginia going on the road, losing to Boomer Sooner.
God. Austin Reed, Brady Manick, the questionable pedophile.
He's Oklahoma tried to try. I would go as far to say probable pedophile. He's a creeper. He touches.
He's
kids.
An absolute creeper.
He's got a van.
He's definitely creepy.
The color of that van is white.
Yes. But anyways, in this game, West Virginia, they were without Oscar Tshiebwe because Oscar Tshiebwe basically just decided to log off for the rest of the season.
He punted again.
He punted. It was first and 10.
We don't know what happened.
We don't know what happened.
He could be going through some personal problems. Yep. We don't know. But at the end of the day, he was projected to be like a 20 to 30 pick in the NBA draft. He decided to come back for another year, hopefully raise his stock. All I know is the way he played this year and logging off for the rest of the year, that's not going
to
raise
his stock. And Oklahoma tried to choke this game away, too. They let West Virginia right back in it at the end. West Virginia could never really get over that hump. But besides Manick and Reeves, how about Umoja Gibson? 29 points for Oklahoma.
Off the bench. He was a sniper. Holy cow. He was 8 of 11 from 3. Oklahoma needs a bench piece, although they're not a spooky team.
They need a
in my opinion.
They need a third piece in general. I think they are a fairly spooky team. They're not a bad team. And then the other team in Oklahoma, also spooky, going on the road, Alex's super dog. Give him credit for making that pick. Wins in overtime at Texas Tech. Number 13, Oklahoma State. Beats number 13, Texas Tech, 82-77.
Texas Tech is now a three-loss team.
They're a pretty good three-loss team, in my opinion. They're a solid three-loss team. I just think the Big 12 is... big step from last year.
That's true.
Fair Alex, point. You want to pontificate a little bit on your Superdog pick? I mean, I feel like Texas Tech, they were favored by, 9 points? And you said Okie State was going to win outright?
Mm-hmm. I mean, people talk about Oak State, and they immediately think Cade Cunningham. And that's all they think about.
He was trash this game.
But they have more – they have some decent pieces around 12. Cade Cunningham. Isaac, I'm sorry if I pronounce it wrong, but like Killy or something.
Lick-a-Killy.
Was absolutely splashing. He played really well. But yeah, they've got pieces around Cade Cunningham. It's not just a one-man show. Mm-hmm. And they outplayed Texas. I don't think this game should have even gone to overtime.
Texas Tech.
OSU,
you don't outplay the Longhorns, excuse me.
They shouldn't have even let the game go into overtime. But they clutched up.
Yeah, they did. That's a good win. Very good win. Against a pretty well-rounded Texas Tech team.
Well, we'll count that good win with a bad loss from San Diego State, up 33-7, in a game against Colorado State, who was 5-1 at the time. Who you look at their team, you're like, yeah, this team is frauds, because they lost to St. Mary's 53-33. How you put up 33 points in a game against St. Mary's?
That screams fraudulent to me.
And I was watching this game,
and San Diego State ended up losing to them by how much?
Three.
Because I was watching this game and I was like, this is actually kind of interesting. Because Colorado State, I looked at the record, I was like, maybe they could be for real. I turned on the TV, watched the first 10 minutes. San Diego State's up 33-7. I'm like, man, this team sucks.
Turn off the TV.
Look the next day. Colorado State comes back and wins 70-67. San Diego State only led by 7 points at halftime. I don't know how you choke a
Did they put in all their freshmen or something when they were up by that much? I mean, what happened?
I don't know what happened. It was a complete meltdown from the Aztecs. Complete meltdown.
Sad news for them.
No excuse at all. I still like San Diego State because they got it in them and they showed it, but wow, what a weak effort after you're up by that many points. You're still playing Division I basketball. You can't just punt after 10 minutes.
Yes.
Then we got big upset. Tennessee at home, number 7. Tennessee at home gets beat by Alabama, showing more of how the SEC has good depth. But Alabama, solid team.
Yes. Nate Oates, you guys were hyping up Arkansas. I like this Bama team. I mean, Javon Quinterly comes off the bench, but he plays big minutes. If you guys don't know Javon Quinterly, he was a big 5-star freshman, went to Nova, Didn't really play that much.
I remember him from Big East.
And he transferred to Alabama. He was a great facilitator out there. And then they still got John Petty, who was absolutely splashing the guy with the super big, puffy, long hair. And Tennessee just couldn't make shots.
Yves Ponce did not play well this game, and he's a key player for Tennessee.
Yeah, not offensively.
Defensively, he had a nice little stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what, Tennessee...
Tennessee's still a great team. Dropped
the ball here and there, but...
Illinois wins at home against Purdue, 15 Illinois at home against Purdue. That turned out to be a pretty close game, too. Purdue had the lead in the second half and then kind of gave it away. The two big men were both the leading scorers in this one. Travion Williams with 14 and Kofi with 14 as well. So not one of Iowa's best games, but hey, sometimes you need other players
Illinois,
to step
Illinois.
Up.
You said Iowa.
Oh, no, I said Iowa.
Oh, Iowa. Yeah, I thought you meant
Iowa's
Iowa.
Best games.
Okay.
No, one of Iowa's best Apologies. Games. Not particularly, but they had four starters in double figures.
Can I make a bold prediction?
Let's hear it. Let her rip.
Make a bold prediction at any time.
I haven't really been that bold this year. I've loved this four. Illinois team from the beginning. You're correct, Luke. Give me Illinois Final Four. I think, I mean, I like the pieces they have around them. I like DeMonte Williams. I like Trent Frazier. Adam Miller, hopefully he can just not be
sit
bad.
On the bench more.
Bajanishvili off
ride the
bench.
Pine, baby.
Yep.
Great.
But the reason I'm picking this team is obviously because of Io and Kofi. Probably the best duo in college basketball. So
I can get behind that.
I like Illinois Final Four.
They got to start Curbelo. It's got to happen.
Mm-hmm. Adam Miller got 20 minutes. That's a disgrace. That is just a true disgrace.
I really hope Adam Miller does not listen to this podcast.
I really hope, because we talk about his name negatively frequently.
He would lose a lot of confidence out there.
Kentucky finally picks up a win on the road in double overtime against Mississippi
State.
He shouldn't
have won this game either.
Why do you say that, Alex? Elaborate.
I mean, Illinois Mississippi State had the lead going into the second half. It kind of choked it, and then Kentucky just kind of hit some
What's
shots.
What's funny about
Dante
this game
Allen.
Is that I was on Twitter
yeah,
afterwards.
Where did he come from?
He's like a freshman from like in
was
state.
This like the
he's
first
an in-state
game
recruit
that he played.
He was one of like they're not as like because you know they had a high recruiting class, so they said we're gonna put this kid from Kentucky and like kind of local in-state recruit. And this guy went out there and he balled out.
Calipari finally
points.
Realized that we need a shooter. I'm not gonna play my
seven
big
for
five-star
for
freshman
deep.
That much. I'm going to play this guy who's not that well known, and he's going to light it up. And he shot the ball insanely well, which is what Kentucky needs.
They absolutely do need it. But what was really funny about this is, so after this game, I went on Twitter, because Kentucky Twitter is always really funny to see. And
especially this year.
Especially this year. And there were, like, Kentucky counts that are bragging. They're like, we own Mississippi State. Mississippi State never beats us. They're like our kids. I was like... You guys are 2-6, and you're bragging about beating Mississippi State.
When's the last time got a top 100 recruit?
Brothers.
Yeah, Quinadary and whatever the guy's name was.
That's the last time they probably had a top 100 recruit.
And I was like, I wish they could see from like an outside perspective how stupid they look right now. Like you're going
you
on and on and on and on and on about how you own
your preseason top 10.
Preseason top 10 with
best class in
the best recruit.
You got BJ Boston,
and you're bragging about how you own Mississippi State
in double overtime.
Mississippi State, my God.
I'm a loser.
How about a huge choke job by Georgetown at home against Marquette? Georgetown is CEO of chokes. All right, it's just the way it is. When they're up 10+,
Georgetown,
at halftime they are 1-2.
They like
That's
to take
not
it
okay.
in the throat.
Yeah. I mean, I told you last podcast I liked Jamal Cain. He had a great game.
He was the only player that played well, I think, on the entire floor.
Because he moves without the ball, like better than a lot of the players that I've seen.
I agree with you.
Really fun to watch. Marquette did not.
What's the turnover situation?
Oh,
like?
Boy, here we go.
What is the turnover situation? I didn't look at that.
Marquette 13, Georgetown 17.
See, that's why Marquette won.
Let's call it Luke.
Yes,
they won
that's
one,
what I'm saying.
And they won the game.
They won the game.
I mean, we laugh, but when Marquette wins the turnover ratio,
they've won.
They win.
It's only happened twice this year, though.
They won this game shooting 52% from the line. That's sad. Georgetown needs help right now. That's really bad.
Javon Blair needs help. I don't know this Georgetown team you speak of. It's the Javon Blair Hoyas.
Yeah, and Ewing literally put him on the bench to start the game.
Come on. Oh, my gosh. Well, Then we get into Colorado going on the road to UCLA, who wins by 3 points at home. UCLA does. UCLA is a very confusing team to me because they win some games and then they
lose. Here's the thing about UCLA.
Mediocre.
Yeah, best. Mediocre, but how do you figure it out? It's
their success pivots 100% on Tiger Campbell. And I think he's
a very player spontaneous.
Who's kind of fun to watch, like watch him facilitate out there. But if Tiger Campbell has a bad game, I just don't see UCLA getting any significant wins.
Jamie Jacquez is a really good player, too, on That's UCLA.
True. I mean, then the other Pac-12 action, Stanford goes on the road 21 Oregon, who wins 73-56. Oregon
Hashtag
looks like
Pac-tion.
Does anyone else hate the Pac-12? Because yes. I do.
Yeah. Dude, the Pac-12 is so ass.
It is
so
the
ass.
Softest
so ass.
Basketball you will ever see.
I wish Bill Walton could transfer to just commentate some Big Ten.
Dude, yeah. Picture Bill
he
Walton
should.
Announcing a Luka Garza versus Kofi Coburn situation.
I mean,
awesome.
He did call Io and Kobe and Shaq. He did. He
oh,
did
speaking of Geo Baker's apparently Kobe Bryant.
Dan Dockett called Geo Baker
Dan
Kobe Bryant.
Sucks though.
And just, I have never been happier in my life.
Dan Dockett is the worst.
Dan Dockett
is bad.
Dan also a noted idiot. So
yes, he is a noted. Listen,
idiot.
You catching bodies out here, and I respect it. But let's calm down here.
Then we get into. Yesterday, Sunday, January 3rd, 25 Ohio State, going on the road to the barn. Minnesota at the barn is really good. 77-60, just takes care of Ohio State convincingly at home.
They're good at the barn, but they've kind of...
How'd Carter the Star play?
Carter the Star.
Well, Liam Robbins had 27 points and 14 rebounds.
Oh, my
So that's
goodness.
A huge game, especially against Ohio State's front court. And Marcus Carr had 15 points on 3 of 12 shooting. So Robbins kind of won.
Liam Robbins
carried
so
him.
Many offensive rebounds. He I don't did. Know the exact numbers, but he was just feasting on the offensive glass.
Probably 6 or something. He did have a lot. Good point to make.
Kalsher had 13. He actually shot the ball well this game. So no congrats way. To Gabe Kalsher. Yeah, 3 for 6 from deep, 5 for 9 from the field.
Woo!
So,
all right,
so
Gabe.
Here's an attaboy for you, Gabe. Then we have another big game of the night. Number 5, Houston going on the road to undefeated SMU. SMU could not find a secondary player. Kendrick Davis cannot carry the entire team.
What about Yorinie? Is he a secondary player?
Well, Yorinie got in foul trouble, and he played like dog crap this game. That's what happened.
Three-finger and knee.
Yeah, Yorinie had 3 points and four fouls and one rebound. One. And he's their
He's
seven.
Huge.
I can't.
He's huge.
But Kendrick Davis, 8 for 12, 2 for 3 from deep, 23 points. And Chargois played okay. He's a forward. That's kind of a compliment piece. He had 10 points, but pretty sick dunk, too, if I may add. It was off the backboard. Pretty cool. But the
means nothing when you lose.
The Cougs were overpowering. Marcus Sasser had a great game. Yeah. Quentin Grimes struggled shooting again. And Dejan Giroux, a name we should probably mention more when we're talking about the
yep.
Cougars.
Mm-hmm. Also, Justin Gorham for Houston dropped a double-double with 11 points and 19 rebounds.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 19 rebounds.
Justin
yeah,
Gorham.
You know why? SMU lost this game because of the offensive rebounds. 18 offensive rebounds to 10. And 45-32 was the total rebound ratio. You're not going to win many games when the other team gets 13 more boards than you. Especially if that team is a top-5 team in the country. And then the last big game of the night, Northwestern 19, Northwestern going on the road to 16,
Michigan
Ann Arbor.
And
Michigan
the floor.
Just
wow.
Kills them. Hunter Dickinson, 19 points, and I believe Franz had a double-double this game.
Franz did. Franz
Michigan.
Played well.
14 points,
Michigan.
10 rebounds. Livers had 10, Brooks had 14.
You're
and
you're come those Wolverines.
Look, if I were you, I would be bragging more.
How about this? Off the bench, Shaundi Brown with 14 points on 5-for-9 shooting.
They cleared the bench this game. That's so bad.
They did.
Beat them.
Yeah, Juwan Howard's son, freshman recruit, scored, by the way.
Really?
Javon Howard.
That's cool.
From Florida. That's pretty cool.
He took his own name and he added a V to it.
Nice.
But I mean, Michigan, great team. I'm fully bought into this Michigan team. I have been for some time.
Do you have a bold prediction about them?
I do not have necessarily
not
a bold prediction.
You should have made one like 2 to 3 weeks ago when you were hyping them up because it's kind of like buying stocks. You'd have bought the bold prediction low.
I mean, I thought me preaching was good enough. I mean,
yeah. You know, oh, hey, listen.
I have no confidence in preaching any team winning the Big Ten because you never know. In the Big Ten,
point.
It's any given day.
You can't make like a reasonable argument for why like you can make arguments for every team, but you can't make like for one team why they will win the Big Ten.
Yeah, but here's what happened to Northwestern. Northwestern ran into Mike Smith, a great defender, because Boot Booey went 0-for-6, 0-for-2,
really?
And put up a goose egg. And Adige, their other guard, 3-for-11, 9 points. And Miller Kopp did not hit a three-point shot this entire game.
That just sounds like
class. Everything for Northwestern was just not working.
It was just not going well. Pete Nance was the only bright spot on that team, and Ryan Young off the bench a little bit. But man, this Michigan team, you guys bought in now? You guys
buying kind of hard not to be, really.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're a top-five team in the nation or anything.
They're a top-tier Big Ten team.
But yeah, they're a top-tier Big Ten team. They've proved it.
And then we got Big Ten action again today. Some action. We got Maryland going on the road to Indiana. Indiana gets a much needed win to improve to 7-4. Trace Jackson Davis with 22 and 15 this game. That's
a big
nice. I don't know what it is about Indiana, and I like Trace Jackson Davis, but I won't be buying into Indiana.
I haven't either. They're too inconsistent.
They can't shoot the ball well enough.
No, I don't know.
18%. From three for Indiana this time, so,
and that's been kind of a common theme for them.
Yeah, I don't know about them.
Then we got 14 West Virginia on the road at Oklahoma State. West Virginia wins by 3 points. They big comeback for West Virginia.
Oklahoma State was up.
I really 15. Thought
they were up. They were up 10 at half.
Yeah. I mean, Derek Culver had a big time double double, and then
Cade Cunningham played well for Oklahoma State tonight.
Mm-hmm. But Miles McBride, I think, is the key for West Virginia.
I agree.
Especially now that Toshiba is gone, he needs to be able to score the ball more. He played well, 21, and he had two big threes down the stretch.
How about Sherman off the bench for West Virginia? 20 points off the bench. So
it was kind of a three-man show for a three-man wrecking crew for West Virginia.
But West Virginia, they're going to miss Shibwe.
They're
100%.
They're going to encounter like some tough stretches.
He's gone, I'm redacting my best front court in the nation statement.
Well, because, that was kind of given. Yes.
I liked West Virginia, though, when they had Toshiba. And
they were still disappointing a little bit.
Whoa, I would not say that.
I disagree.
When they had, who did they lose to Oklahoma after, was that after he left?
Toshiba had left.
He had left by then. Then they, I would say probably not.
Then we got San Diego State bouncing back against Colorado State, the team they choked so hard against. We're up 50-24 at halftime, and they lost the second half by 13 points, but it was not enough for the Rams to come back and beat the Aztecs. Jordan Shackle had a better game with 28 points and 9 boards. So I'm still bought into the San Diego State team. Sadly, Loyola and Bradley got canceled tonight, which would have been a great Missouri Valley game because we love the Missouri Valley here at Maiden March this year. Then we get in to Tuesday's games.
And
games
unfortunately, it's been a marathon podcast. We're only going to do about 2 days.
Yeah, 2 days worth in of games. Advance. And then we'll give you a podcast later this week probably at some point. We got NC State 6-1 going on the road to 19 Clemson tomorrow. NC State.
What's the line?
UNC. Clemson is favored by 5 points.
I like Clemson to cover. They've been playing some nice basketball there at home.
I agree. Amir Sims is going to dominate this game.
I don't know. I don't really buy into Clemson. I think that they probably win, but if you're betting on it, I would take NC State to cover.
Mm-hmm. It's fair. I'm taking Clemson to win the game, though.
All right, well, fair enough. And then we got some good SEC action. Florida going on the road to Bama. Bama just pulled off that big upset against Tennessee. Florida's been playing nice basketball. Bama's favored by 2.5.
At Bama, I assume?
Yep. I like the Gators.
Yeah, you've kind of sold me. They're on the rallying Gators a little around bit. Keontae. I like the Gators.
He's got Coach Key. He comes to the games.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I hyped up Bama. I like Bama again.
Gotta stick to your guns.
I like how Florida played against LSU.
We're gonna go 3-1 again.
Yeah, 3-1 with Alex being the odd man out.
I gotta pick Florida.
Yeah, Florida wins. I mean, that's just poetry.
Yeah, come on, chomp chomp, Gator Swamp. We got 15 Rutgers going on the road to Sparty, 23 Michigan State.
The Big Ten, not big game. Rutgers has had a tough little stretch here, though.
Oh, I mean, every Big Ten team is going to encounter stretches like this.
Exactly, that's true. That's a good point. Good point.
I think Rutgers bounces back here. I mean, big shocker.
I'm going to pick Rutgers.
Sparty's what? 0-3 in conference to start?
Make it 0-4.
I'm going to pick Rutgers this game.
It all depends on Rocket Watts.
No, what does. I think that it depends on is I think it depends on if Miles Johnson can stay out of foul trouble. That's what almost every Rutgers game depends on, to be honest with you.
Without Cliff Omaru.
I actually like Rutgers in this one. I think Hauser plays well, but
what's the line just out of curiosity?
Not enough.
Sparty by what?
I do not see a line here.
No line for this game.
It'll probably be Sparty by
2.5.
Yeah, 1.5.
If that. Yeah. I mean, then we got number 6 Kansas, 8-2 going on the road to 9-2 Horned Frogs.
Take them, Luker.
Dude. And Kansas only favored by 5.
That's weird. That's a weird, weird world we live in.
But Kansas has got to bounce back. I think so. There's no way they drop another one to the Horned Frogs.
No way.
I think it's going to be close until about 10 minutes left in the game. Kansas is going to pull away. So I'd like Kansas to cover. I really want to take TCU, but they're just not going to win.
Good point.
Last outing, they only beat Kansas State. Noted garbage team by 7 points. Noted. Can't happen. Marquette's back in action at home at the Fiserv, taking on 4-1 UConn. UConn sneak team out of the Big East.
Guys, no one watches more Marquette basketball than me.
UConn's got this
one. Do not
Marquette take is on. A 1.5-point favorite, bet on UConn.
Yeah.
Yes.
UConn. You think Book Night has a big game for UConn?
Oh, yeah.
Love James.
Oh, yeah.
He's so fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
He's very fun to watch.
He's going to have a big one. And then Iowa State goes on the road to No. 4 Texas. Iowa State almost had good experience and played Baylor tough last time, and I think Baylor's better than Texas, but I think Texas blows him out of the water. Loki could be a trap game after a big win, though.
Nope. Not with Iowa State. I Loki thought the Baylor game was maybe a trap game.
And Rasir Bolton
it was a little playing close, well. But...
And Jalen Coleman lands. It depends on how Iowa State's guards play.
I think as long as Texas doesn't come out of the game like asleep, that they should win the game. So I don't know if it depends on that, but okay.
Give me Texas.
What are you thinking? What's going
on? Are you thinking Iowa State's going to win?
What are those gears turning around and saying?
2-5 Iowa State's going to beat
New Screw it. I'll make the prediction. I think Iowa State upsets Texas. And that's going to send the sports world into a world of chaos. And the NCAA basketball world is going to be like, what is going on right now? I think because Iowa State is an athletic team. You know what? That doesn't mean they're really good at basketball, but it means they kind of match up with Texas fairly well. And I think Rasir Bolton and Jalen Coleman Land shoot the basketball really well, and I think Solomon Young's a good defender down low. So give me the Cyclones. Then we get into Wednesday. Pittsburgh 5-2 going on the road to Syracuse, who's 6-1. I like Syracuse this year, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
Their offense is showing some nice flashes, but Syracuse's defense has left a lot to be desired this year.
Which is weird, because normally not like
that. I mean, Syracuse versus Pitt, this isn't a game where I even feel confident picking it, a team.
Coin flip.
Because...
It's a coin flip game.
I just don't feel like too knowledgeable about either of these teams to pick a team.
Syracuse has won losses to Rutgers.
Pittsburgh is without their best player, Champagne.
Yeah, give me Cuse mode. At home. Then we got Rhode Island at Richmond. Richmond 7-3. Richmond got upset last game. Mm-hmm. I can't remember by who. Not a great team. Richmond's starting to look like frauds.
Lost to St.
Bonaventure.
The Bonnies. The Bonnies could be good, but
I just think the A-10 in general, like, there's going to be some games like that. Like, the A-10 is sneaky competitive.
I think Richmond might lose a second one in a row here with Rhode Island going on the road.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Rhode Island is
disappointed.
They're a grizzled team because they have played a lot.
Yeah.
Of hard teams this year, but I still think the Spideys come out on top in that one.
I agree. I like the Rhode Island Rams in this one. Then we got, I think, Louisville might even be favored in this one at home. 19 Virginia Tech heads to unranked Louisville. I like Louisville in this game. I think David Johnson just runs this game in my opinion.
I like Louisville as well.
The basketball player, David Johnson.
I'll take Louisville.
All right, and then we got big one in the SEC. Arkansas at number 9, Tennessee. I think Tennessee wins. I really want Arkansas to win, though.
Okay, how do we think Arkansas matches up against Tennessee?
Not good.
That's what I was kind of thinking. I don't think
Tennessee's
that they match
a
up
very disciplined team.
Yes. And Arkansas, aside from Connor Vanover, is a small team. Small and fast. Fast, yes, but very small.
But Tennessee's also an athletic team.
That's what I'm saying. I think UTEN kind of locks them up.
Yeah,
good point. Give me 10.
Another SEC game, 7-1 Georgia at 6-2 LSU. I think LSU bounces back with a win here.
Give me LSU.
But
I like LSU as well.
Again, SEC, still sneaky good. 6-2, the Shockers of Wichita State head on the road to 11, Houston 8-1. Shockers, they pull an upset here.
They don't have Eric Stevenson.
There's
going to
be
anymore.
No shock. Eric Stevenson. What a name.
That guy sucks.
Do we want to get a quick Eric Stevenson check?
I'm on it.
Washington this year. I want to see what he's averaging.
Tyson Etienne has been solid for Wichita State this year, though.
No. Nah, I can't.
You can't
Nobody's
take
picking Wichita State.
Can't take him. We got
Alex, do we have an Eric Stevenson update?
I got you. He's playing an average of 21.5 minutes, shooting 25.5% from the floor, 17% from three, averaging 4.3 points, 2.4 boards.
He's gone downhill fast.
Man, I hope you sold stock on Eric Stevenson before it was too late.
Then we get some great action towards the end of the night. We got 16 Minnesota at 10 Michigan. Oh, ooh, man. I'm excited for this. The Big Ten's not going to disappoint. I'd love Michigan to remain undefeated. Go Blue.
See, no, I think Marcus Carr has a big game.
I'm taking Michigan home here because Minnesota is not showing up well on the road.
I like Minnesota. Liam Robbins versus Dickinson.
That's going to be a great matchup. Yeah.
This is going to be a 1.5 line, whatever way it goes. Probably Michigan's way, but this is...
No way, dude. It's at Michigan. They're going to be like 5-point favorites. Yes, at Michigan, undefeated.
And how about this Oklahoma at number 2, Baylor? I think Baylor actually wins by a lot here.
Yep.
Even though Oklahoma's a decent team.
Yeah,
Baylor. Huge potential upset alert. Seton Hall goes on the road to 7, Creighton.
I was going to say that. It's not as big of an upset as Iowa State over Texas, but I like...
I'm going to take Seton Hall in this one.
I like Seton Hall in this one.
I like Creighton because Zeg's been playing better. So.
I mean,
I'm going to go Seton Hall.
Ooh, what do I want in this game?
Sandro?
I don't really know who Creighton's going to put on Mamu.
This game is fully dependent on Mamu if he goes off or not. Yes, and I think Mamu has a big game. Give me SHU.
Wow.
Three SHUs.
And it's at Seton Hall at Creighton.
Yeah, like Creighton at home.
Bold stuff.
People don't realize how far away Omaha is from the rest of the Big East, too, by the way. That's not a fun trip to make. Just saying.
Listen, Mamu can weather any storm. Just weather that.
His bus drives differently.
That wraps up games to look forward to in the next 2 days. Yeah. And then one last note, Utah State also plays tomorrow night, who's now 7-3 after starting off very poorly. They won 6 straight.
What do you know?
Charlie wants the Aggies back, maybe?
I mean, we'll see.
We'll see. But that we'll wraps up games to look forward to.
Yeah, this has been a marathon podcast. I might need to go take a nap after this, but it's been a while. The holidays are gonna
needed to be a long one.
Do that to people. So yeah, this one had to be long, but it's not gonna be another 8 days before we record. We can promise that. We'll be back in about 3 days, possibly 4. Some more college basketball news. And until next time, this is Made in March.